Should we tease what this week's about?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Do you promote yourself? Well, you just got promoted.
Hey, don't tell anyone.
Oh, you don't want us to tell anyone?
No.
Why? We just did it.
Oh, okay. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Oh, you always catch me every week.
I do, didn't
I? Fail to catch me.
Because the theme this week is promotional strategies. Seems like your strategy works.
Just be a nice guy.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I want to be the first to congratulate you.
Thank you, Greg.
What's your title now, Brian? What's your title now? Alan?
I don't know. It hasn't really changed.
It really hasn't?
It's more of an internal... No, I wouldn't.
But the recognition is important, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. It's nice. Yeah. Well, it's team effort. You know,
it's
we're all in it together.
Just a few steps away to CEO.
Wow. You know, good timing.
Boy, would I love that.
Would I still get to do the podcast?
If you wanted to.
Do whatever I want, I suppose.
If you had time.
Yeah. I'm Alan.
Not the CEO.
No. Not yet.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and the inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this, by the way, is episode 61.
And on this week's episode, we'll focus on the importance of a promotional strategy during the upcoming holiday season.
You know, Alan, it's the busiest time of the annual retail calendar, and the competition for buyers' eyes, hearts, and wallets is steepest during this period.
Wallets. I like that. Top of mind, top of wallet.
Hmm. Yeah, not bad, eh? And best of all, it's true.
It is. So how you promote your inventory during the next few months can make all the difference between feast and famine for your business.
We'll converse with eBay seller Richard Cooley. You remember him, Alan. He's been in the studio before.
I do.
Richard runs a very successful small business on eBay, and he'll be joining us to talk about his promotional strategy for the upcoming holiday season.
And continuing with the topic, we'll speak with Shannon Jensen, Senior Manager of Seller Ops, to talk about two really important tools in a seller's promotional toolbox, best offer and offers to buyers.
And good news, Alan, Gendeal is back to share information about scarcity and demand and how a seller can leverage both of those to increase their sales during the holidays.
Awesome. And did I hear that we have questions this week?
You did. Lovely. We have lots of them. And you and I are going to do our best to answer them in the last half of the episode, so stay tuned. But first things first, do I hear something buzzing? What's the buzz this week? Alan, what are sellers and buyers talking about? Any big news this week?
Well, there was some big news. Devin Wenig, our CEO, stepped down.
Yeah, that's pretty big news.
And certainly there was talk in the community and on social media about what this might mean.
No surprise. Our sellers pay attention. What's been the reaction so far?
It's mixed. Some are excited by the news as they associate Devin's tenure with lots of change, and others express concern that a CEO change would not necessarily mean any impact or change for their business.
Well, it's all to be expected. Everyone speculates. Keep in mind the e-commerce landscape changed a lot during Devin's tenure in the last few years.
Yeah, and honestly, sellers have concerns about the future.
Well, everyone does, and everyone in charge at eBay, I can guarantee you this, in fact, everyone from the top down, knows that sellers stock eBay shelves and there would be no eBay without them, so you can look for more attention paid to sellers.
100%. Right. And overall, sellers in the community agree that they want to see a CEO with ties to e-commerce, the eBay platform, and someone who has a focus on small and medium businesses.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, right?
That's what they're saying.
And no doubt, the board will find a candidate that fits that bill completely. What else are they talking about, Alan?
Well, there was some chatter around managed payments as well. There's always discussion about the migration of sellers that's ongoing.
Yeah, let's remind them that as we stated in the, I think since 2017, the goal is to have all sellers on eBay migrated to managed payments by 2021.
That's right. And there still seem to be a couple of pain points that are stopping sellers from joining managed payments. Some sellers are reporting that payouts are taking longer than expected. And a global shipping program is not yet included.
Yeah, that is a pain point for a lot of sellers, especially if they have more than a substantial percentage of their sales going through global shipping. But as announced recently, the global shipping program is definitely coming to managed payments, but there's no definite buy date at this point. Just stay tuned. Now, as for payouts, this is from the FAQ on the managed payments page, and I quote, "You'll get paid directly to your bank account regardless of which payment option your buyer selects. If you sell daily, you will receive regular payouts into your bank account. Now, there's no need to transfer funds between accounts. Depending on your bank, you can typically expect payouts to be sent to your bank account within 2 to 4 business days of an order confirmation." And then it also states, "We are looking into ways for our sellers to have more options and faster access to their funds in the future." You can find the Managed Payments page on the Seller Center main page towards the bottom. There's a link there under Trending Topics. If you haven't visited that page, please do. There's lots of information about Managed Payment that could answer a lot of the questions you have.
And we'll post the URL on the transcript page. On another topic, PayPal's recent change to not credit fees on refunded transactions has convinced some sellers to register for Managed Payments now.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, Griff, do you ever make mistakes?
Every minute of every day.
Well, no person or e-commerce platform is perfect.
Yeah, there's that perfection thing. Remember that from last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to be perfect. Yeah. However, I am optimistic that we're moving into a new era of transparency, Griff.
Oh.
Sometimes you must admit your mistakes.
I just did. Okay, what happened, Alan?
Well, eBay accidentally made some listing promos available to sellers where they should not have been available.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. Our clever sellers could read between the lines, though. And due to the time frame of the various promotions and sellers' inability to activate, most members were able to identify these offers were a mistake.
What was the discussion?
Sellers mostly chatted and confirmed with each other that they were also seeing the offers but couldn't activate them.
Well, I suppose crisis averted. These things can happen from time to time, and in fact, they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's also some conversations from buyers and sellers on the feedback process as well.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, it comes up from time to time. Some were reporting experiences where they felt they had to ask or remind their trading partner to leave feedback.
Oh, you know, this is a subject near and dear to my heart. It's always nice to leave and get feedback, but remember, it's not required. And I've been saying this for years. Asking for it, though it's not prohibited for a seller to do that, is definitely not a good business practice. I've cautioned against this, and there's a good reason.
Okay, why? Give us a bit more info.
Okay, well, asking for feedback telegraphs to the buyer that what is most important to the seller is the seller's feedback, not the buyer's satisfaction. And in fact, this has been going on for a long time. I've seen this where sellers, no matter how they word it, they'll say, your satisfaction is really important to me. And then they'll say, we really hope we've earned your 5 stars and your positive feedback. Mm-hmm. Please leave it for us. That just tells me as a buyer that what you're really concerned about is your feedback and not my satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So the upshot, the long story, the crux, don't ask for feedback ever. Just don't do it. Give it to buyers the minute they pay and then forget the rest. What else was mentioned this week?
eBay
specifically on this topic.
On this topic. Yeah, yeah. Some reported feeling pressure to leave or revise feedback, and some felt that feedback removal sometimes feels unfair or inconsistent.
Mm.
Generally, some members seem confused as to the reasoning behind eBay's decision to remove or not remove feedback. What's your feedback on feedback, Greg?
Well, you know, I just learned something, and I should have known this from last year's spring seller update, where this was part of the details. But if you offer free returns,
mm-hmm.
and you have a return request and the buyer leaves negative feedback, it gets automatically removed.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go on a limb here.
Okay.
Because sellers won't like this.
Right.
I'm not so sure that's always a good idea. I just got a negative feedback, and I feel it was deserved. I unintentionally misrepresented something about a listing, and I should have been paying attention, and it was not good for the buyer. I refunded the buyer. The buyer sent the item back. And I, you know, like I said, always, I hope you'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
I responded to the negative feedback and said, you know, I'm so sorry this happened. We always take a return. And then I looked today and the feedback was gone. So I contacted customer support. It's because I offer free returns. And I said, well, you know, I'm not so sure that I wanted it gone.
Yeah.
Because I've got all this positive feedback. I think having that negative was actually kind of like street cred.
Yeah, yeah, it shows that you're, and it shows how you react to situations when they go wrong, right? No, nobody's perfect. No business is perfect.
Yes.
When things go wrong, you get negative or neutral. It's an opportunity for you to showcase, hey, thanks for your feedback. I'm going to resolve this. You know, positive, great customer service you can show in your follow-up comment.
Well, that's our feedback on feedback, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Okay.
What else do we have, Alan?
eBay's money-back guarantee is back on the radar. We've seen some buyers report that it's not clear to them when a request can be opened or for how long they will remain eligible for protection.
Hmm.
Buyers frequently report not knowing how to obtain a refund once they've opened a request or when an item has already been returned.
Well, the eBay money-back guarantee applies to everything on the site,
uh-huh.
I believe, maybe not classifieds, and there's no extra fee for the coverage. It's automatic. It covers purchase price plus original shipping on eligible purchases. Now, communication is always important. If there's an issue, contact the seller first via my eBay. And if you can't get a resolution from the seller, and I got to tell you, in most cases you will. Sellers are pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
You can start a return via my eBay. You can read more about eBay's money-back guarantee program at the link. And I'm going to say this once, but it's in the transcript of the program. ebay.com/eBay-money-back-guarantee.
Beautiful.
Pretty good.
Thank you, hyphen.
Yeah, lots of hyphens there.
Finally, last topic. We've seen buyers reporting a variety of shipping-related frustrations, including packages arriving from other e-commerce companies in their boxes, excessive shipping costs, or shipping costs changing after purchase and no estimated delivery dates or long estimated delivery dates provided for the order. So a lot going on there. So the community stepped in to help clarify.
You know, thank heavens for those experts in the community. They step in all the time.
I know.
Lots of times, most of the times, the information they give is correct. Well, some of the issues that you just brought up are likely violations of eBay policy. And I want to talk about one that's a bête noire for me. The first one, which is items bought on eBay, but they arrive from another marketplace.
Boo.
The seller may be in violation of the eBay policy regarding drop shipping. And to clarify, drop shipping is allowed on eBay. Drop shipping is allowed.
Okay.
That's when a seller buys stock from a supplier and then works with that supplier to send items directly to their eBay buyers. Now, remember, this is where the seller owns the stock,
okay,
but they're keeping it at the supplier's location and then telling the supplier, ship it to this buyer. Takes a step out for them, makes it easier.
Seems okay.
However, here's the difference.
All right.
Listing an item on eBay and then just-in-time purchasing that item from another retailer or marketplace, which shall be nameless, that ships directly to the customer, that's not allowed on eBay. And in such cases, we may remove your listings from search, we may display them lower in search results, or we may remove them completely from the site, and you could be risking suspension.
Oh, wow.
We may also limit, restrict, or suspend your ability to buy, sell, or use the site features on eBay, and you could lose any special status and or discounts associated with your account.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, I'm scared. I'm not going to do it. All right, I wasn't doing it, but I'm definitely not going to do it now.
I've done my job.
And as a buyer receiving a box from another e-commerce site, I can tell you it's a terrible experience.
Yeah, and I should have one more caveat I forgot to put in here. Some sellers use another outside service for fulfillment. And that's okay too. That's their items that are theirs. That's the thing. The items, before they listed them, they risked the purchase. They own them, but they may be stored in another service's warehouse from which they are shipped.
Okay.
Okay.
What about the other issues like excessive shipping costs, no delivery dates, et cetera?
Yeah, buyers need to check the cost and expected delivery windows on the item page before they commit to buy. Now, if the seller does not provide this information, either ask them for it prior to purchase or just abandon that item and go find a seller on eBay of the same item that does provide this information. Simple as that.
Good advice. Thank you. If you are a buyer on eBay, and I hope you are, and you have an issue like one of these, go to eBay, click the help and contact link at the top of pages, and you'll see your recent purchases. Click there to open a case with a purchase.
And there are some problems with buyers as well on rare occasions, and you can report a buyer too. You can go to, well, there's a link, and it's too long for me to say, but it's in the transcript. This really is. Our URLs are crazy.
Terrible, right? Yeah.
You can also report a – so again, it's in the transcript. You can also report a buyer from the resolution center or from your sold items list by finding the order, selecting more actions, and then choosing report buyer.
And another easy way of doing it is just going to Google and typing in eBay report a buyer, and Google will find a help page for you very easy.
Thank heavens
for Google.
Google. Anything else buzzing, Alan?
No, I think we've shared a lot, so let's move on with the show.
Okay, thanks again. Coming up, an eBay seller shares his promotional strategies. This week on our episode 61, we're talking about promotions, specifically the idea of having a promotional strategy for your business on eBay as we go into the holiday season. And keep in mind that any good business not only has a holiday promotion strategy, they have some sort of promotion strategy throughout the retail calendar year. But we're going to focus on the holidays because that's the season that's coming up. And joining us now in the studio is our good friend, returning with more of his sage wisdom about how he runs his successful business, Richard Cooley. Hi, Richard. Welcome back.
Hi, Griff. Great to be here.
So, Richard, we're talking about promotional strategies this year, and I wanted to ask you a few questions. First, tell us a little bit again. Remind us what it is you sell and how your business operates.
We do currently mostly doing footwear, specializing a little more in the high-end fashion footwear, pre-owned, which is eBay is awesome because that's one place where you can turn pre-owned footwear, and people looking to buy from that market are going to inherently turn to eBay. So we're doing a lot of footwear. We're getting a little bit back into handbags, which was our bread and butter many years ago, and we're able to source a bit more handbags and accessories at this time. So we're trying to push a little bit more into that, especially right now during the holidays, which is a hot holiday item.
So that may be my first question. Is there a market during the holidays for pre-owned handbags and shoes.
So we actually touched on that a little bit last time, and I've thought about it a bit more. And I think you were surprised last time when I told you there is a market for pre-owned product. Handbags, absolutely. High-end handbags, collectible handbags. Is a matter of interest, actually. I collect coin-operated arcade games, for example. In that realm, I have a lot of friends who also do that. Their significant others, their family, friends, are going to maybe go to eBay and find them cool collectibles, pre-owned items. It doesn't always have to be new stuff. You're not going to find a new item of a collectible genre for coin-operated arcade games from the 80s anywhere but eBay. It's really something to pay attention to. The used pre-owned market is actually a pretty hot market for the holiday.
You heard it here from someone who knows. If you're a thrifter or if you're looking for high-quality pre-owned merchandise and you're not thinking that the holidays could be a great time of year for you, that would be an error in thinking.
That's right. Yeah. I used to think that until I started getting emails, that's actually what first alerted me to pay a little bit more attention to this. I had happy customer emails post-holiday saying, hey, my son, daughter, friend was so happy with this pre-owned item that I bought from you. Thank you so much. And I started thinking about it. You know, it's actually a pretty cool idea. The son or daughter or a friend probably super happy with the item. The person who bought it maybe saved a little bit of money or found something obscure that they're not going to find on other sites. But not going to name them.
This is good news. Yeah. We won't talk about the other sites, but you can imagine what they are. So when it comes to the holiday selling season, do you have specific or different or special types of promotions that you plan to implement during the next few months?
I do. So we're evolving year by year. We've always done almost all auctions. I'm delving a little bit more now into Buy It Now. The one really good thing about auctions is that we're able to burn all of our inventory, especially with the cost of living around here and the cost of our square footage for our warehouse. It's a good way to burn through things. But we're now delving a little bit more into doing some more Buy It Now items where we can set a price and maybe target a little bit further markets out that are not the quite as desirable item or maybe a little bit more obscure where people aren't going to see it within that 10-day period where we have it listed at auction. In our previous years as an auction specialty, we used to target our auctions directly during the holidays. So we would actually ramp up and list the auctions, and I would have a calendar where I would make sure that those auctions were ending during hot times, like around Cyber Monday. We'd do a ramp up and do as many auctions as we could ending through those days. But now I'm pushing a little bit some more Buy It Nows, and I'm kind of doing a little bit more of a specialty on those through the holiday.
What would you say your percentage mix now and format is?
We're probably about 25% Buy It Now and 75% auction.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Yeah, we're creeping up a little bit on those.
Because I think when the last time I talked to you, it was lower.
We were just getting into them. Yeah it's really turned into a really good sales strategy for us.
Fantastic. Do you provide Buy It Now with offers so this, a buyer can send you?
Yes. Every
so
one
get
of them
the negotiation.
Has offers. That is such a great option for the buyers to be able to send offers, and the new option to be able to send offers to buyers that was introduced. Love that. That is fantastic. My tip of advice with that, monitor that, especially if you have a lot of listings, send those offers out often. I was sleeping on those a little bit, letting them go, kind of not sending them. And then I realized I had a 200 one day that were sitting there that I could send offers out. I sent all those out. I came back with tons of offers back, dozens and dozens of offers on all those items. And after I saw that happen, I realized that I needed to pay attention to those. It's a simple 2 to 5 minute process. Select them all, set a percentage, send them the offers, and then make sure that you're on top of that.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that you like to, quote unquote, burn through inventory. And I assume that means get rid of it.
Right.
It's you don't actually set it on fire.
It's not the most profitable way to do it, but it is definitely the most efficient way to make a living on eBay.
Your margins may be slimmer, but your velocity is higher.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for.
Do you have an idea of what your average sale price range would be?
Probably around $20 to $30 per item right now.
So that's not cheap. It's not too expensive. But you also have items that you can put up for a lot more money than that.
Right.
Yeah. Knowing the market.
Sure. And the thing that I'm doing with some of those higher price items, those are the ones that are going to have a lot of eyeballs on them. I'm actually starting all of those at a penny. Most of those, especially if they're a really high sought after item, start them at a penny. When you start them at a penny, you're going to have that many more people on the first day see it by searching lowest price first, because a lot of people search lowest price first. When you start it really low, you're going to get a ton of eyeballs right from the start. You're going to start drawing in bids. You're going to start having a feeding frenzy on bids.
Now, is your promotional strategy for the holidays and for the year round, is it based primarily on price and format, or do you use other tools? We talked a little bit about what we now call seller initiated offers and best offer, but do you actually promote some of your fixed price listings using the promoted listing tool?
Yeah. I do. I was using that quite a bit. There's been some new changes to policy that I'm testing some new ways of using that. I've gone down a little bit on the promoted. I'm just trying to feel out the market with that right now. I think with the changes going through, I've pulled it off of a few and I've noticed lower sales on some of those multiple quantity items. So I'm literally just, I think September 1st, something changed there. So I'm feeling that one out a little bit.
You're testing the new waters.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a smart thing to do, I think. Yeah. And what about offering sales? You know, there are tools in the store where you can use Promotion Manager to offer discounted markdown sales. Is that something that you do during the holiday season?
Because a lot of our buy it now items are already a little bit of our lower price point items. So that strategy I tested out, found it didn't work for me. So I'm back to just putting it at a desirable price, giving them the chance to offer on it, and then sending out those offers to people who are interested. That's my main strategy right now.
In the past, have you tried things that didn't work?
Promoted listings.
Well, we talk, promoted listings. For your particular categories.
Well, auctions, as I've always said, I've done auctions forever. Auction pricing, I always did 99 cents. I just kind of set it and forget it for a long time. And then I got to the point where I realized it wasn't working for me anymore. I shouldn't be doing everything at 99 cents. It started being kind of taking a loss on too many items. Now the desirable items were starting at 99 cents, kind of pushing up the price on some of the other ones to make sure they at least get our investment back. So
the items where you are pretty sure, based on your experience, look, this is going to take off on its own.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest in this. Yeah. I can start this at 99
sure.
cents.
Sure. Not even pretty sure. Just always very sure.
But what kind of item would
I've
you
been
have
doing this a while, Griff.
Of course. And you would know what you're doing.
Well, I bought 7 pairs of brand new Steve Madden Freebirds boots today. Those are very desirable boots. You probably wouldn't know the brand, but I'm familiar.
Oh, I know Steve Madden.
So they make he has an offshoot called Freebird, which is their premium line. And we got a good price on those today. I'm not really worried about getting our money back. I know if I start those at a penny, there's going to be a lot of ladies looking for those in size 9, which we acquired. And if I start those at a penny, I'm going to have more eyeballs on it than if I start them at 100.
Do you use or leverage or have strategies to get those eyeballs to look at other of your listings as well?
Well, I know that because the items are in our store, we have that inherent advantage of they're just going to be hopefully able to click through to see some of our other items. And then eBay, of course, is going to automatically advertise some of our other items after they've seen them.
Right. So they're going to see, hey, there's more items in my store.
Sure.
And get those buyers to buy.
And we do have a Facebook page, and we do Instagram as well. We're just starting to use Instagram a little bit more, but we will occasionally advertise on Facebook too.
And what does that entail?
Just putting some more desirable items that I think are going to get a lot of eyeballs. We'll put a Facebook ad, a $10 ad out, just to try to draw more people into our store and draw them onto our eBay site.
Do you have your own page as well?
Yes.
And do you talk about shoes and footwear and handbags on that page?
We sure do.
And that kind of engagement, does it help?
At the scale that we're doing it, it's probably pretty minor. At the scale that I see some other sellers do it, I think it really does work for them. It's not a strategy that we're using to our advantage as much as we could. I definitely know that it really works for some other sellers, ones that I follow personally.
Your buyers, do you offer them discounts for multiple
Absolutely.
Purchases?
Great question. Yeah, we do have a ton of repeat buyers. I'd say 30% of our buyers are repeat, maybe even more.
Wow.
And of those 30%, probably half of them are going to buy more than one item. Because we have hot auctions that are starting low, we offer them 7 days to bid on what other items they'd like to bid on within that 7-day period. They'll wait it out, automatically calculate shipping at checkout, and gain that cost savings in shipping while also purchasing other items when we're offering dozens and dozens of items in their same size that they can bid on.
Anything else that you might want to touch upon about promotions?
For me, this is the first year that I'm doing some different strategy other than auctions. So I think the best thing to do is probably meet up after the holidays and we can discuss it at that point.
That's a deal. Richard, we'll call you back in January and see how it's going. Are you busy in January?
Well, luckily I'm right around the corner. I'll ride my bike over here.
Right. So even if you're busy, yeah, you can take a few minutes off. Richard, I want to thank you, and I wish you great success during the holiday season. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have picked up a few tips. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're selling Buy It Now or in the auction format or a mix of both. Keeping your items fresh, keeping them in front of buyers, getting them enticed enough to open those wallets so the dollars fly out and you make some sales is what counts all year round, but especially during the holiday season. Richard, thank you so much.
That's key. It was a pleasure, Griff. Thank you so much.
Richard Cooley is local here in San Jose, and he sells on eBay. Coming up next, we'll talk with an eBay insider about promotional strategies.
We're here with Shannon Jensen, Senior Manager of Seller Experience Operations in Salt Lake. And Shannon's joining us today to talk about offers to buyer and best offers from a holiday perspective that fits in with our theme for this week, which is promotional strategies. Welcome, Shannon.
Thanks, Griff.
Tell us what you do at eBay and how long you've been here.
I've been at eBay for over 10 years. I'm on the seller experience team. In my role, I work really closely with a bunch of different groups, specifically our product teams, category teams, and also our marketing teams to ensure that we have a very holistic representation and understanding of how to best suit our sellers.
So we're going to start off with offers to buyers. This is a new feature at eBay. Can you tell us how it works?
Really, what we're trying to do is get our sellers engaged with buyers. We know that our buyers are very dynamic and they like to feel connected to the sellers they're purchasing from. And so we're giving sellers control. We're empowering them to reach out to their buyers. And also, you know, if they notice that sales are a little slow, they also have control to send offers out to their buyers. They're watching their items, or maybe somebody that's put their item in cart, they can send offers out to those buyers now.
And how do they do that?
So what they would do, they would go into Seller Hub. They would look at their active listings. There's actually a filter within Seller Hub where they can see any of their items that are eligible for offers. And then once they filter those, they can either send it out one at a time, or they can actually click on our bulk filter there and send offers out to multiple different items, as well as the offer goes out to everyone that's been watching that. So you can't just segment which watcher you want to send it to. It goes out to everybody on the watch list.
Right. So we know we can send these to multiple users. What about making offer to buyers one at a time? Can we do that as well?
You sure can. So you can select different discounts for, you know, different items. But yes, you can do it one at a time. You do not have to use the bulk feature.
How do offers to buyers work within the abandoned cart? So we hear about this a lot. People put items, and I'm guilty of it. I put items in my shopping cart, forget about them. Is that a separate function when you go to send an offer as opposed to sending it to watchers?
It's not. It functions differently in the sense that when somebody puts an item in their cart, and same thing, I'm guilty of it as well, and we know our buyers like to shop around. Maybe they're searching for the best price, maybe they're searching for different colors. So we have a set time. It takes 5 days for the ability to send that as an offer. Reason being, we want to make sure that we've given the buyer enough time to go look at other items. You know, we don't want to just, hey, you put it in your cart, you forgot about it for an hour, and then just start sending them offers. So 5 days is the threshold that we've set, and then those offers will go on out.
Yeah, I can imagine. You put an item in your cart, and 2 seconds later, hey, I'll make you a good deal on that. And that, I would think, people watching me? How do they know?
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. So how is the
We've just found that that's a good amount of time for buyers to do all of their shopping on the site, and, you know, just give them a little subtle nudge that, hey, we haven't forgotten about you yet.
Right. How's the program working so far?
It's been really good. We've seen really good conversion, and it's actually driving more results. Any items that have best offer on it, we're just finding that buyers are actually starting to filter in the search results. And so they feel like if a seller is willing to come down on their price, even just a little bit, that's where they're going first. And since we've started to see that data shift, that's why we're really putting an emphasis on best offer. And then again, we also want to empower our sellers. If they're not getting offers on their best offer listings, you might have 10 watchers on an item. And if they're not giving you an offer, why not give them a nudge and send that out and see if you guys can convert a sale on their own.
What should sellers keep in mind if they're creating a promotional strategy for the upcoming holiday season? What should they keep in mind about best offers as we move towards holidays?
I think a couple things. We really want our sellers to know if a buyer has engaged enough to send you an offer, make sure you're responding within the time window that that buyer has set, because they're trying to purchase that item quickly. And if that time expires, it's done. That buyer's likely purchased from somebody else. If you haven't enabled best offer on your listings, go and enable it now. You can always decline offers if they don't make financial sense to where it doesn't meet up with your margins, but there's no harm in having best offer on there and having to decline an offer, but you can potentially lose sales if a buyer's, you know, specifically looking to work a little bit with you on that item to get, you know, get the best price for them too.
And there's different settings for best offers that a seller can set. And they're pretty obvious when you go to create a best offer on a listing, for example. You can choose whether you want to auto decline offers at or below a certain price, auto accept any offers above a certain price. This gives the seller a little bit of automation. But the one thing I think we need to be clear is about, for people who have never used it, is with immediate payment. Can you explain how that works, or actually doesn't work at the moment with best offers?
So as far as best offer, immediate payment is not required for our buyers.
Anything else to add, Shannon, before we wrap up about best offer and offer to buyers?
Try out seller offers. See how your buyers respond. There's no one price fits all for everything, so you might find that certain items move better when you send your buyers offers. But again, I just encourage our sellers to try this awesome feature that we've gotten a lot of great feedback on.
What do you get to lose?
You never know what's going to happen until you try.
Well, Shannon, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure talking to you, Griff. Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Shannon Jensen, Senior Manager of Seller Experience Operations. We've been talking about two features, offer to buyers, and one that's been around for a while, but still is a great tool to use, best offer. And we hope that you'll consider using them. Coming up next, we'll talk with Jen Deal about what's hot in the world of scarcity. Stay tuned.
It's been a while, but good news, it's back. It's time for our What's Hot segment with Jen Deal. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Griff.
How are you?
I'm great.
Glad you can make it.
Thank you. And have I got a deal for you and our audiences today, Griff?
What's that? Great discounts?
Well, not that kind of deal today. I want to share something new today, and I'd like everyone to agree, this is the deal part,
okay,
to keep their eyes out only if they want to make a little more profit.
Well, that sounds like a deal we can't refuse. Do go on.
Okay, let's see. Today I want to touch on the topic of scarcity. Webster's Dictionary says that scarcity means in short supply. For eBay, we look at scarcity as a product that is not only in short supply, but sells at a higher price than retail, because it is an item that's also high in demand.
Oh, I'm familiar with those, but please tell me more. What kind of scarce items do we have, and when do you see them?
Scarce items can actually be found on the site at all times. They range from items like out-of-production lipstick or lip balm. This is particularly close to me. That's in a specific color or flavor that no one can live without. Okay. Or to the limited edition sneaker drop last month, to the limited edition Chanel bag that I'd have to sell my mom's diamonds to buy.
Well, what do you prefer, the diamonds or the bag?
If truth be told, that lip balm.
The lip balm. Oh, okay. Well, that's the reason why you never look chapped.
Yes.
So what you've described are things that are hot in the market or are highly desired by buyers but come in limited supply, or in demand items that are no longer produced or available in stores, like some sold items. I have examples of those if you want them. I just sold two bottles of cologne for an outrageous amount of money.
Really?
Yeah, they were from 2011. I know that they're really hardly sought after. I've been storing them away in a dark closet. Mm-hmm. And I told Rob when I put them up, I said, when I put these up, these are going to sell. He looked at the price. He said, no one's going to buy that for $400. And I said, you watch. In 30 minutes, both of them were gone.
Well,
total of $700. And because of scarcity and demand.
That's what we're talking about. It's exactly what we're talking about. So, and this is why it's important. There's a few reasons. You want to identify what are those scarce items. So high demand, low supply, sells higher than retail. Those are your characteristics.
Like my cologne.
That's right. And you want to keep an eye out for the opportunities to source and sell these. And this is a little bit like catching a sailfish, which apparently is one of the most difficult fish to catch.
Well, how do you know this?
I have a curious mind and a Google assistant.
Yeah, I've never been fishing, but go on.
Okay. So reason number two why it's important to talk about this, because if you find some of these items, you're likely to turn a much higher profit, as you saw with the cologne, than the usual, especially if the going rate is exponentially higher than retail.
Mm-hmm.
And then reason number three, Q4, which is what we're in right now, is the most popular time of year for scarce items.
So it sounds like you're preaching the thrifting Bible, because that's what every thrifter is out looking for when they're in yard sales and estate sales and thrift stores, is that item that is high demand, very scarce, and they're buying it at such a low price, they're going to make big profit. Mm-hmm. But that's for thrifters. Is that why we hear about crowd-crushing stampedes and Black Friday campers on retail outlets at the holiday season?
Yeah, sometimes those are actually the buyers that drive that scarcity demand. It's that kind of hunter. I'm all about the outdoor analogies today.
I can see that.
That we want shopping for our scarce items. They are willing to pay a premium if they are really, really, really in need of that product X.
Okay, it may be obvious, but I'll ask the question anyway. Why is Q4 the best time of year to get into sourcing scarce items? Does like holiday have anything to do with it?
I don't know. A little bit. So in anticipation of holiday, there are various new releases that come out. For example, in video games.
Given the analogies, I thought you were going to bring up some canoeing examples, but no, okay.
Or.
Oh, jeez, what a terrible pun.
I'm all about those.
The puns, yeah.
The puns. Yeah. Or we can talk about gaming, and I'm talking about video gaming, not wild game.
It goes on.
Yep. Sorry, it's part of the deal.
That's all right. I'll tell you the gen deal.
All right. Okay, so in video games, things like the Nintendo Switch in the past has been a hot item that has sold out. There are video games that sell out and are highly coveted. Toys is a huge category where scarcity becomes rampant, and people shell out clams to make sure there's space for Santa's one gift that little Judy wanted.
Oh, yeah, that's a history at eBay, by the way.
Yeah. Remember the Hatchimals craze in 2016?
How can I forget? I thought it was ludicrous, but hey, profit's a profit.
That's right. So the Hatchimals craze in 2016, was, for those that don't know, this is a toy that hatches itself. And when stores were depleted of inventory, they were on the secondary market, like eBay, selling for as much as $329 per egg.
Hail capitalism.
Really?
Or the free market, yeah. So, yes, it's heralded as the second coming of Beanie Babies, but we know how that ended. So that was before. What's hot now, and I mean scarce and high in demand.
Yeah, so there's a bit of detective work, intuition, and luck in sourcing a scarce item. First, you need to keep your eyes and ears peeled and know what's going on. I recommend starting with either a category you're comfortable in and looking up news of the kinds of things that have been sold at premium prices. Look at what's coming out soon and get a sense among the news and the influencers that you're reading of what will be most in demand this season or very soon. Then figure out how to get your hands on one or two of these items or a few more if possible. We try to stay on top of the trends as well and occasionally send out emails letting sellers know when scarce items are moving on the site. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, we had a few items we shared. You want to know what those were?
Well, of course I do. Give me some ideas what to look out for.
Okay. The Friends Lego set. You know, Friends is celebrating their 25th anniversary this year.
Really?
Yeah. The TV show, sitcom.
That long?
It's so long ago.
Oh, Chandler, I feel so old.
So, in fact, they brought some fun episodes to the movie theaters a couple weekends ago. In anticipation of that, Lego collaborated with their studios and created a Lego set that retailed $59.99.
Are they limited?
They are limited.
Okay, so there's the scarcity.
Well, so that's your first point, yeah. I mean, because anytime they do a collab for a Lego set, they don't make, you know, hundreds and thousands of them. They make a smaller amount. But these retailed, as I said, $60. It was a Lego set of Central Perk, their coffee shop. And when they sold out, they came onto the site at $108.
All right, so almost double.
That's right. Now, I just checked last night, and the price is $72.
Well, now, that's a good point. So it's timing as well, because then the profit margins shrink.
Exactly.
I'm more inclined not necessarily to buy them if I'm only going to make 10 bucks on them. Plus, I got to put shipping into
that,
it, right?
That is exactly right. When you find these items, don't think of them as the way that you're going to build your business, unless you're a scalper.
Yeah.
But you just want some bonus points, right? And so if you don't buy in at the right price, you got to be careful because like you said, you can actually lose money when the demand drops because the market has either been replenished or the demand has died down and you'd be stuck with all that product.
Yeah, I remember that was the... What was it called? Fidget spinner debacle.
That's
for
right.
Some people who they invested so heavily in those. By the way, I want to mention something that last week on Fox, you know, on Sunday night, they have all those animation shows. There's a new one called Bless the Hearts. It's got Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig, and it's kind of a poor Southern family trying to make money. And the first episode was about the grandmother has been buying these Beanie Baby things. I forget they were called something else. And then on the YBay site and hoarding them in a storage locker. And her daughter has been going in and stealing them and selling them on eBay to make money and selling them back to the grandmother.
Oh, no.
Right. So you got to be
She's got her own ring. Yeah. Okay. That's funny. A couple more examples that we had in our email. We had the Sakai Nike LD Waffle that retail.
Back up. What's that?
Okay. It's a shoe. It's a very brightly colored shoe, as many of the Nike drops are.
I see waffle and I start my mouth waters.
Like it didn't look like a waffle.
Okay.
Didn't even have the colors of a waffle, but I don't even know why they called it a waffle.
Was it the sole on the bottom? Maybe it was waffle-like?
No.
Is it maybe you don't want to buy this, so you're waffling?
Ah. Maybe. Right. Okay.
Okay, but
something
they're scarce.
To ask Google Assistant. Okay, but they're scarce. Yeah, they retailed at $160 and they're currently selling at $438.
Excuse me, can we stop? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go shopping. I'll be back in an hour. $438?
You got to be able to get your hands on it. This is why other sites exist for this kind of thing. Yeah. Okay, Meghan Markle's dress.
The Meghan Markle?
Yeah, the Meghan Markle. Yeah. She had a J. Crew dress that retailed $118 that she wore to the U.S. Open.
Right.
And those sold out because, you know, when your favorite celeb is rocking something that you can actually afford, everyone buys it. Selling on site for $225.
All right. So again, almost double. In fact, definitely double.
Yeah. And it's not even that she wore. It's a dress that...
It's the dress. It's the style of dress.
It's the style. Right? Yeah.
So you got to actually watch celebrities and royals and what they're wearing and doing and then get on top of that before anyone else.
Oh, totally. I remember back in the day when I was merchandising for eBay, I remember watching the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
I believe, when Michael Phelps came out with solo headphones.
Oh, I remember that.
Or Soul headphones.
Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, not Soul. Yeah. And I remember looking at that and saying, oh my God, I got to get my hands on some of those because I knew... Everyone was going to recognize that brand or figure out what that brand was. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we started selling them. Yeah, not a scarcity, but we just started selling more of them.
Right, because they were popular.
That's right, because he wore them. Things like that are good indicators of, you know, what may or may not be popping.
Okay, one more example to whet our appetites. And then I got to get out of here and start shopping.
Okay. Last one was the Starbucks tortoiseshell tumbler. So this is their usual like venti tumbler for cold drinks.
Right.
It was in a tortoise shell design.
Oh, I like that.
And globally, that became a scarce item.
Oh.
So that retails about $17 and it's selling for $30.46.
Okay, so that's a high jump on a low ASP, average selling price. You would walk into a Starbucks and buy as many of these as you can because that's how you're going to make your money.
If you right.
You think they'll stop you?
Well, sometimes I would think.
If you do it real fast, how can they stop you? Here. I want to buy these. Put them on the counter. Quick, ring those up. Get out of there before they go. What did they just do? They bought our whole stock.
Right.
If you hem and your haw, it gives them a chance to say, no, it's only three per customer.
Exactly. Going confident.
That. Right. Going confident, going fast, going sure. Talk a lot. Put the money down. Get out.
Right.
You know, I've been known to make a few predictions in my time on scarce items. And sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong. So everything comes with a disclaimer. Just because I predict it doesn't mean it's going to come true. Any last tips for sellers?
Okay, one last tip. Apple and Google are both launching major video game platforms this fall called the Apple Arcade and Stadia.
Yeah,
or
I read
Stadia.
About that.
Yeah. I don't know how to say that.
I think it's Stadia.
Stadia, yeah. Okay. We'll need to listen for indications about how many units will be available, when, where, how much, and what the demand is like, because you never know. These might be scarce items.
Mm. Well, you heard it here first. You may hear it last. Insider sourcing tips not monitored by the SEC. Jen, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I hope you'll stop by soon. We missed you. Yeah, I know you've been busy. It's been almost 2 months.
I know. I am intending to. I have another segment planned for us to talk about toys for the holiday, what's going to be hot for Black Friday, and how to think about your inventory for Small Business Saturday,
which is
the day after Black Friday.
Right. So these are coming up. We hope to see you soon. Thanks again, Jen Deal, for stopping by.
Thank you.
Jen Deal is one of our special correspondents here at eBay on the podcast, and she comes by, we hope, on once a month basis to tell us what's hot.
Yes.
We asked for your questions, and boy, did you come through. We've got 7 questions this week, Alan.
Oh, 7.
So let's just get
right to it. Is that a record?
I think it is.
Okay, I'm going to jump in with the first question.
Do please.
Hi, Griff and Alan. It's me again, Amy Eskridge, seller name AmyEsk02 and store name Ageless Buys. I've been listening to the show every one of your podcasts and I've gotten so much useful information. Thank you for the hard work. Thank you, Amy. Here's my question. I'm trying to use the traffic report to get a better sense of how many eyes I'm getting on my listings and how that translates into sales. I'm confused about what appears to be a different number of views on the traffic report as compared to what I see on my seller's active listing page. My active listing page shows only 8 views, but the traffic report shows there were 213 listing impressions and 1 page view. Can you explain the difference? I think the traffic report is giving me more detailed look, but I'm curious about what the 8 means on my active listing page. Thanks in advance for any explanation you can give. Love you guys, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
There's a really simple answer to this, Alan.
Okay, great.
It's not always clear on the traffic reports page. The page views that you see on your listing page, that's the same metric as in traffic for page views.
Okay.
However, the one on the listing page is in real-time dynamic.
Oh, nice.
It changes in the minute someone looks.
Okay.
Traffic reports is an aggregate that's usually 5 to 7 days behind.
Oh, wow.
So you may notice that you have on a listing 8 page views and only 1 page view on the traffic reports. It hasn't caught up. It takes time.
Oh, we should put a little asterisk somewhere so people know.
Good idea. Right?
That's a good info.
So I hope that helped, Amy.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, Amy. We love you too. Hi, Griffin Allen. Lately, the USPS took over 3 weeks to carry a 1 ounce first class package from TN to CA. My buyer contacted me 8 times re his package. He finally opened an item not received case against me. eBay was smart and put a 5-day hold on the dispute, and 2 days later, my item was delivered. Can't eBay put a little more flexible on the quick shipping times? I already ship within 24 hours. Thanks, Robert Cook, eBay user ID 1004.
I think you're looking at this in the wrong lens, Robert. I don't think this is a matter of being more flexible on quick shipping times. You did ship within your handling time. You're covered for that.
Yep.
And if the item shows that it's in transit and it's delayed or it's slowed down or stuck somewhere, that's not going to be held against you.
No.
So in this case, we're as flexible as we can be. We can't predict what the USPS service is going to do. And I just had this happen with me with media mail. And what I find works is that you respond to a buyer who's concerned that their item hasn't arrived and assure them that you'll take care of them if something goes wrong.
Uh-huh.
Give them the tracking number so they know they have it. And they can see for themselves that it's not you, you shipped it, but it's stuck somewhere.
Yes.
In 99.999% of the cases, it arrives. So I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, we want to do our best to protect sellers. So as Griff mentioned, if you ship it out within your handling time and have tracking number, you're all good. Don't worry about it. Question three. You ready?
Yeah.
Good day, guys. I'm an Aussie looking to start selling on eBay Australia.
Yay.
I was going to start with some retail arbitrage, but I've seen that last year eBay was looking to stop the practice. After looking into it, it looks like it's only for people using third-party fulfillment such as Amazon.
Mm.
I was hoping you could clarify that for me. As I was looking at hitting retail stores or clearance items and shipping myself, Brendan Aldrich.
Brendan, welcome to eBay, and I think you'll do well there in Australia. We mentioned this in the buzz, but I'm going to take this opportunity to clarify. eBay is not stopping retail arbitrage. We think it's a great way to source products. If you are spending money and buying products and then listing them on eBay, that's fine. What you may have read and what you may have just heard a few minutes ago in the buzz is what we don't allow, what we prohibit, are sellers who don't own the product listing it on eBay, and the minute it sells, they go and purchase it from another site, another retailer, and send it directly from them.
Yeah.
And yes, a lot of these come from Amazon. Let's just be clear. This is a really bad experience on all ends. Mm-hmm. It's a way of telling your buyer when they buy the item, hey, you could have bought this on Amazon. And it's anti-eBay marketing. We rightfully find this to be a horrible experience all around, and we don't allow it.
Agreed.
But if you're buying the product at retail stores and you're getting clearance items and then even shipping them yourself, which you don't have to do, you can have them filled by someone else, you're going to be fine, Brendan.
And Brendan, write in again in the future and let us know how you're getting on. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
Hello from Canada.
Wow, we're around the world today.
It's an international show today.
Great, yeah.
Love the podcast. Every episode, I walk away with at least 2 or 3 ideas to help me run my store, ebay.ca/do more deals.
Yeah.
Today, I'm writing about item-specific and title keywords. If I were to leave out the gender in the title, e.g. women's gray top, and just have the gender in the item-specific, which would perform better? I only ask because you can only use a limited amount of characters in the title, and I would find it would be redundant to have the gender in the title and also, again, in item-specifics. Hope you can help me out. Jamie Waters.
Yeah, I've actually experimented with this with shirts. by leaving the title men's out and just make sure it's listed in the men's clothing, shoes, and accessories category.
Okay.
And I saw no impact on my sales. So if you've run into a situation where you've hit that character limit of 85 characters and you're looking for words you can remove so you can put something that's more searchable, that's more likely to be used as a search term, take out men's, take out women's.
I would do the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Question five. I live on Instagram and on eBay too. Just checking. So it's okay to direct followers from Instagram to eBay, but not vice versa. Thus, it's not okay to direct eBay members to my Instagram page. My Instagram is antiqueshopnyc.
Gotta hand it to them, right?
Yeah.
They had to get that plug in.
Yeah. Please, I'll go and follow you.
Yeah, so antiqueshopnyc, you're absolutely correct. We don't allow sellers from their listing pages direct people to their Instagram account. It's part of the links policy.
Okay.
We spend a lot of money getting buyers to come to eBay.
Yeah.
Why would you want to send them away?
Yeah.
So we don't allow it.
Purchase here on eBay. Yeah. Don't get distracted by Instagram and what Kim Kardashian is doing.
But as many sellers do. Yeah. They do use social media to direct traffic to their listings.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Totally. Right. Some sellers are great at that. Okay.
She also had another question. Did you see it on the next page?
Is this the same person?
Yeah, same person.
Okay. On eBay, I'm Jewel Biz, which has also been trademarked as my website domain since 1997.
Wow.
I noticed I was called a trailblazer. Now I'm a guide. Why the change? Did I get demoted? Cordially, Nikki.
Yeah, and you know, I need you for this one because I have no idea what they're talking about.
Because this is my fault.
It is?
This is my fault.
But tell me.
I dreamt up this terrible scheme. So... Nikki, I believe what you're talking about is the ranks on the eBay community. So a couple of years ago, we launched rewards and recognition on the eBay community platform. So as you post and as you share content on our discussion boards, you earn badges and you achieve different ranks. So what probably happened is that you've spent more time on the boards and you've ranked up to a higher level. Now, I have heard some sellers say that the names are not clear. They're not very intuitive. So what we'll do is drop a link into the transcription with a page that shows all of the ranks so you can take a look yourself. And we are going to review those names again to improve them because I'm sure they could do with some work.
I'd change guide to spirit guide.
Spirit guide.
Yeah, that sounds better than trailblazer.
I know. Yeah, things have changed. Spirit animal. Right? That's what people say now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who my spirit animal is?
Greta?
No. Betty White.
Mine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Explains a lot. Yeah. What's question number six, Alan?
Hello. I was wondering if you have transcriptions of the podcast available. Mm. If so, where could I find them? And if not, why not? Thanks for your time, eBay user, the_glass_slipper.
Mm. Well, you're in luck. And you'll be so happy to know that we're not sleeping on the job on this one.
Okay.
The transcripts are right there for every episode.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go to ebay.com/podcast. Find a particular episode, click on the episode title to open the episode page. Mm-hmm. And at the top of the, right under the title of the podcast, there's a link that says transcript.
Okay.
And if you click it, it's like a tab view. It gives you the entire printed transcript for that episode.
Every single word.
Every single bit of nonsense and skullduggery and shenanigans we get up to on the episode.
Who has to type all that out? Everything I'm saying now is going to be in a transcript.
Doug.
It's mad, isn't it? It's crazy.
Doug has to
That's type. Why we pay him the big bucks.
Okay, last question, Alan.
Okay. On a recent podcast, I believe Griff stated that you could find the traffic for each single item I am selling on eBay. Mm-hmm. I found that not to be true. I can see my traffic, but overall only. I can sort the data, but there is no place to search for a specific item to what the traffic has been. It would be great if that was available. Gretchen at Serendipity Sales.
Oh, Gretchen.
Cock Griff out.
No.
More Griff lies.
Oh, Gretchen, I was not lying. It is there.
Yay.
But you got to do a little something with your mouse.
Oh.
You got to scroll down the page. Because the top of the page is where you're seeing the traffic overall, the aggregate for all your listings.
Okay.
If you scroll down that page, you will see there's a line item for every item listed in the last week or two, including some that have closed. And you can see the traffic for each individual listing. Now, the one thing that there isn't is a search feature for the page. So if you know the item title or you know a keyword, you can use the browser's function. You can change the view to 200 listings on a page
right.
at one time.
Yeah.
and use the browser's Control F feature and then put that keyword in to find it quicker. But yeah, no, it is there. But you're going to have to use your little mousy finger to scroll down to see
it. To work out that mouse. Poor little guy. Gretchen, I hope you find it. And if you have any issues, let us know.
And that's it for questions, Alan.
Phew, seven. Let's keep it going. Let's try and get eight next week.
Where do you go to send us questions?
Oh, you can go to send us an email at podcast@ebay.com. You can call the hotline on 888-723-4630. You can also go to the community page, ebay.com/podcast. And on the right-hand side of the page, there is a button where you can send us in some comments.
Is it still in the lovely yellow mustard box?
It is, actually.
Okay, yeah, good. I forgot it was yellow. Yellow mustard box, right.
Yeah, we painted it recently.
Well, this has been a long show. Shall we close it out?
I'm enjoying it.
I'm closing it out.
Okay, let's go.
And that's our show for this week. What's on tap for next week, Alan?
Social media, Griff. Specifically, how to use social media as a part of your holiday promotion strategy. But in the meantime,
in between episodes, you could always, I don't know, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's our number, so call us maybe.
888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. And you call now, we'll match that pledge. No, wrong fundraiser. You can call that hotline any time of the day or any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
And if you don't like talking on the phone, then email us at podcast@ebay.com. That email address is podcast@ebay.com.
Yeah, we had seven questions this week. See if you can break the record.
Come on.
We'll try. Winter's coming, Alan.
Oh, no.
Yes, it is. Time to build the woodpile. Put up the storm windows, shine up the mucklucks, and hunker down for a long winter's night. But don't forget the tire chains, because you're going to need them to drive your cold, sorry self to a local eBay seller meetup.
Yay.
Meetups are regularly occurring events where people of like mind, like eBay sellers, get together to meet and eat, as well as to share selling tips and stories and insights and even a few eBay kvetches. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/eBay for Business and then hop on over to the community chat at ebay.com/community chat. It takes place from 1 to 2 every Wednesday, and you can ask your question to eBay staff.
The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you each week by
Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Special Correspondent, Jen Deal.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and my fellow host, Griff.
And my favorite fellow host, Alan Aisbit.
Thanks. That's me. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Good job.
Hey, thanks. I've been meaning to ask you for a long time.
What?
What are kvetches?
You don't know what a kvetch is?
No.
It's a Yiddish word.
Oh.
I believe.
Yiddish
word. Kvetch is a complaint, like... Oi, kvetching and complaining that the kvetching's already.
Huh, I thought it was food, some kind of food.
Oh, you could, what's for dinner tonight?
Sounds like kvetching.
We're having a kvetch roast.
Mmm, that sounds nice.
And after that, we're having pie.
Wow, I learned something new. You did say that, yeah. Seven questions, that was pretty good.
Seven questions, I was really impressed. Let's see what we get next. I'm ready. So 888-723-4630 or podcast@ebay.com.
Yes.
That's called promotion. Promotion of our hotline.
Yes.
So we started with promotion and we're ending with it.
Please call us and leave us 5-star feedback. Oh, we're not allowed to do that.